Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the premier podcast, The Attic. Every week, this urban bunch of folks get together and they lay it down type real. Another perspective that you did not see coming. The cast of The Attic includes, of course, co-producer. We got Brother Messenger. We got Baby Sis. And we got Baby Bro. We got Nurse Carmen and Sister Sippy. And of course, we cannot forget Sister Sunshine. Now sit back, relax, and be entertained by the cast of The Attic.
Yeah, be entertained. 1, 2, 1, 2. Hey, good evening, everybody. This is co-producer with our last show for the historic Black History Month. I giggle every time I say that. We only get a month to tell a lifetime of stories. But anyway, this is our last podcast for Black History Month. But as I said to you on the first show, as I'll say to you on all the shows, The Attic is a Black History podcast. And just to get things started.
Said y'all need a new DJ, I'm your man.
You're in prison.
A minor challenge for an alcoholic's been.
Hey, let's get it on, man. Let's get it on. Yeah, I'm your man. Hey, listen, we're celebrating Black History Month. And as always, nothing that we do on The Attic is conventional. Some of our Black History facts are chilling, some are frightening. Some are just meant to be educational. And I want to tell you, we're going to start off tonight, our show tonight, with a little piece to my man Sam Cooke. So I want you to just bear with me for about 1 minute, 45 seconds. I got to let Sam Cooke set the mood for a minute. Yeah, change is gonna come. Let me tell you. Let me gather myself. It must have been like some dust particles or something floating around the studio, cause my eyes is watering just a little bit. But listen, you know, before we get into the topic of Sam Cooke, the man, I was in the pre-show. I was talking about, think about how relevant that song is all these years later. When we talk about we've made progress. Yeah, we've made progress. But think about how relevant the words to that song is. You know, that when that song was released, the verse in there that talk about when I go to the movies and I go downtown, they wouldn't release that song because they thought it would incite black people to act a different way. Yeah, we talking Black History Month. Hey, you know, I got exposed to a Netflix special called, what is this, The Second Killing of Sam Cooke?
The Two Killings of Sam Cooke.
Let me tell you something, folks. That's powerful. Let me tell you now, I've always liked Sam Cooke's music because he was a smooth brother. You know, I'm never going to get excited. You know what I'm saying? He's just going to stay right there with that little two-step, and he's just going to blow some smooth harmony all day long. But when you get behind the music and start to look at the man, oh, he was much more powerful.
He certainly was. Amen.
Yes,
he ought to be mentioned when you talk about Dr. King, when you talk about Malcolm X, H. Rap Brown, when you talk of these black historic or pioneers, Sam Cooke got to be mentioned in there.
He was one of the brothers
that said, listen, if what I do as a black American, other black Americans can't enjoy it, but only non-black Americans can enjoy it, then I'm not going to do it.
Right.
And again, we as black people, as a nation of black people, far more times than not, we don't take that stand because we have been so conditioned that opportunity for us is not coming around every corner. So when the opportunity comes, I can't squander my opportunity looking out for a people. I have to get what I have to get right now. And that's such a generational brainwash that we don't seem to be able to escape from. But I'm telling you, man, I didn't know that Sam Cooke was that powerful as a black voice.
That documentary was very enlightening.
That's right. We didn't hear about all that stuff. They didn't tell
everything about. You just thought he was a singer.
That.
You just thought he was a singer.
That's right. Exactly. Wasn't talked about.
Right. I mean, he was an activist, and you didn't really know that side of him.
That's right. Sure enough.
Well, you know, it just goes to show again. We're talking back in the 80s, man, the 70s and the 80s. He started understanding. Now, watch this. He started understanding what Monique is now saying. Work with me now. I mean, before we say she was wrong.
Okay.
He started understanding that, again, there's profit out here, and it's got to be distributed equitably. If we're doing the same work, now we all understand that the owner gonna get way more because his initial investment got all this started. So I understand that, but you know, when we're both singers and I'm black and you're white, and just because I'm black and you're white, you make more money than me. Not that you're better, not that you pack the house more, but so no, man. I got like a newfound love for Brother Sam Cooke, man. Because let me tell you, I've never heard of him. I've never heard of him as an activist. Never.
Right.
Me either.
Nor I. Yeah.
And if you think about one of the reasons why we never heard of him, because you got to remember now, in the music industry, you know, I mean, come on, that's almost as far as getting fame. That comes right behind the sport industry for the Black American, and I'm talking in large numbers.
Right.
So if you understand and you educate people, or you allow people to be educated, when Sam Cooke understood that we have the voice, we have the harmony, we have everything, and we have money, we just don't understand that. Let's take that money, instead of buying 10 Cadillacs, why don't we buy 5 and invest the rest in the studio, and then we keep the profits here. I understand why the music industry don't want that story out.
Right.
Well, when he died, wasn't he in the process of trying to, get black artists to see the importance of owning your own, you know, your own,
yes,
your own rights to your music, and trying,
yes,
to get,
yes,
his own studio, I mean, company,
right,
to have,
you
black,
know, but
artists.
Again, but, you know, like I said, and then the brother sold him out. I mean, but that was, you know, that was what he was doing. So, when you at that stage, and you understand that your music rights, the rights to your music, you wrote it, you know, damn that, you should always be the one getting royalties, not the record company. Because, you know,
right,
what I say,
correct,
in the music business, I might be wrong because I'm not an entertainer, pretty little money from that album. Now, again, today's times has changed. That's why musicians always stayed on tour, because,
right,
that was,
right,
their money. You pressed that album, RCA, Sony, they got the money for the album. You went on,
right,
tour, and that's how you got your riches. But, you know, but I take my hat off to Brother Sam Cooke, and I say that watching that documentary, it only opened my mind to how many other brothers out there doing real positive shit that we never get to hear about.
That's
that
right.
we have to stumble upon.
Mhm. And I mean, the fact that there was, like they said, 200,000 people attended his funeral.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that was the number they said. I mean, to me, that right there speaks volumes.
Yes, it certainly does. Yeah.
And
I mean,
I don't know if you took note to when Muhammad Ali, when he fought Sonny Liston, he called for,
right,
Sam Cooke to come up there.
Right, to come out, yeah, come into the ring.
Right, you know, so, I mean, he knew Malcolm X. He knew he knew a lot of, you know, influential people. He really did.
But you know what I really dug about, well, I says I'm talking like we're in the 60s now. You know what I dug about that show? Think about this. How do you be in the presence of Malcolm X on a consistent basis and not convert to Islam? See, I get those things out of a show. In other words, it just showed how strong his mind was. And again,
that,
I don't know. I mean,
that strengthened him. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well,
he said
I think he commented on that, because I think somebody questioned him, because they thought that, and maybe, I don't know, maybe the government, that made them nervous, because, you know, to see him, Jim Brown, Malcolm X, and Muhammad Ali all together, that might have made them nervous. But I don't think he was, you know, befriending Malcolm for that. I think he was into it for a different reason, you know, for the fact of, you know, for them coming together and being able to do something positive.
Right.
And that's exactly what the reason was. And that's what scared the shit out of this government again.
Yeah.
J. Edgar Hoover told him, no, you ain't got to worry about Russia, China, none of them some bitches. What you got to worry about is that black man that you got captive in your country. You got to worry that one day they're going to wake up and understand that this shit ain't right and going to revolt against it. That's what you got to worry about.
And I tell you, who else is pretty, who's really been involved with a lot of the greats? Jim Brown.
Yeah.
You know, you've been side by side with a lot of the greats too out there in the struggle. Mm-hmm. Malcolm Martin, Sam, I mean, a lot of them.
I got respect on that level, but, I mean, I don't really follow the Jim Brown story, but lately I think Jim kind of went the other way. I'm not sure, but I know that they ain't got, like, a whole lot of
love
for Jim.
Well, I mean, as far as back in the day, I don't know what he's doing lately.
Oh, yeah.
I'm saying as far as back in the day.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know what he's doing lately.
And again, you got to understand, back in the day, there wasn't, like, a whole lot of black actor parts. So, like I said, the money that we were making in large amounts were from that music industry and sports. And you had a collaboration of the music from Sam Cooke. You got the sports with the greatest of all time, Muhammad Ali. And again, the
and
government.
And Jim Brown was doing his thing back then, too. He had that ball on lock. Jim Brown.
And Jim Brown. I'm sorry. I give Jim his credit. And Jim Brown. So, in other words, you had the people who were in the circles where the black money was made now talking about, hey, listen, we're doing all the work. You know what I'm saying? And we have cash. We have to learn how to pool our resources. Again, you're going to be doing the exact same thing that you were doing for RCA, but you're doing it for yourself now. That's taking ownership in yourself. That's building black pride. That's showing black folk that, hey, we cannot just be workers. We can be owners. Because as long as you are working, you ain't never going to be wealthy.
Do you know the reason why those four men were really so feared? Does anybody know the real reason why?
Why? Tell me.
Because what, they crossed over?
Exactly.
In terms of, they had the audience of white America as well.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Exactly. And that's what made them so fearful of them. Because it's bad enough we got to deal with the blacks, but now they got whites on their side too. We can't win that. And that's why those four were so powerful.
And was he found dead in the same hotel where Martin Luther King was shot?
Well, no, not the same hotel, but he had frequented that hotel, that Lorraine Hotel.
That's not where he died at.
No.
That was the place to be if you was black in Atlanta.
Yeah.
That's where you had to get to.
Mm.
Hey, but again, you know, that was a Black History moment for Brother Sam Cooke, and I hope his spirit. It's still blowing in the wind, and I hope it lands on a bunch of us, man, because a bunch of us need to understand that, again, by doing things together, but, you know, by pooling our resources. And you know, like I said, like I always say, because, you know, I got a lot of different listeners on the podcast, this isn't anti-anything, folk. This isn't anti-anything. This is pro-black, as it was. Pro, get your shit together. See, because if you get your shit together, then you become a viable entity in the economic market. Now, you can buy and trade and sell goods internationally if you get your shit together. But, hey, Brother Sam,
what just really broke my heart in watching that. For everything that, you know, Sam Cooke did and his contribution to what he was trying to do for his people, for him to die in that manner or be killed in the manner in which he was, it broke my heart.
Yeah.
Well, you got to remember.
And even Muhammad Ali said if that was anybody else, Frank Sinatra, anybody else killed that way, it would have never been told. You know what I mean? You know, they would have never accepted that. You know, an inquiry would have been done, or they would have investigated that they would have never accepted the death to be, they just would have never accepted it.
Yeah.
And something would have been looked into.
Well, you know, like I said, the words of the song are so relevant. look at Tupac getting killed in L.A. the night after the fight. Nobody don't know nothing.
Vegas,
I'm sorry. In Vegas the night after the fight, and don't nobody know nothing. It's just certain shit that just don't matter to society. And one of them, or some of that certain shit, in a lot of cases, is black lives, man.
And then after that, who else died? And everybody started, they started dropping like that after that. Him, then it was Malcolm, then it was Langston Hughes, and then it was, you know, all of them just started dying after that.
Well, and again,
I mean, coincidence? I think not.
And you know what? And the real sad part to all those leaders, you know, all those pioneers to their death, is all they wanted was equality, man.
Right, right.
Not superiority. All they wanted was equality. Come on, man. We built this shit, man. We over here. We paying the same amount of taxes. I got to pay the same amount of tax dollars as the person up the street. But if he called the police call to come to help him. But if I call, I got a real good possibility of getting shot and killed. And we pay the same money. I mean, if you're going to give me the cheap end of the service, well, cut my damn taxes, man. Don't make me pay full price to be abused. Brother Crispus Attucks do goddamn T and the C about that same shit. But anyway, this is Black History Month, and this is the Attucks. Shit, man. I'm sorry, man. You know what I'm saying? Watch this. Let's transition to some other shit, man. That'll say something else to us. Right now, I guess y'all heard about Robert. y'all heard about Robert Kelly. I mean, they caught up to that ass, man. Again, you know what? Justice will be done. Justice will be served. It's so funny, man, that here you are, R. Kelly. You got all this shit, but yet you can't make $100,000 bail. What the fuck? I mean, come on, man. What? I mean, for real, you got money to keep these folks captive in hotels, renting whole floors. I guess that must be comp to them when they do a show that they don't cancel. But you can't make $100,000 bail. But I'm going to tell you this, folks, and you mark my words, it is. I don't think he gonna get nowhere near what he's deserving to get, and I don't think that's gonna happen because again, the fact that that dude couldn't make $100,000 bail, and some anonymous person had to help him, that probably broke his commitment to not telling on some people. Because if for R. Kelly to be doing that shit for as long as he's been doing it, there's a lot of people that know about it. But everybody's in favor of R. Kelly getting his justice, right?
I mean,
I am.
Yeah.
But watch this, though.
I'm still tripping off that he couldn't make $100,000 bail.
Amen.
He got a child support case coming up, so of course he got to show that he ain't got no money. You follow me?
Oh,
so
okay,
he rather sit in jail.
I know he should have that kind of money.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you got a child, I think he owes $100,000. Yeah, you ain't trying to pay
so
that.
You're hiding
so
money.
You,
so he's hiding money. He's hiding the money.
It's kind of like screaming bankruptcy. You know, you ain't
see,
got.
You know,
it.
That's just one of them. That's just old beat, man. That's just old beat, dude, right there. You got money, and you got kids out there, but your lavish lifestyle is so much more important than taking care of them kids, man. See, that's that bullshit that catch up to you. But let me say this to you, though, okay? Because I'm going to put a little spin on this. We all in favor of R. Kelly getting what he getting. And remember now, one of the they got him for some other shit, but having sex with underage people is his main charge. Will we agree to that?
Yes.
Now,
right.
How is it?
If I'm not mistaken.
Okay. Now, let me ask you a question. How is it that they got him in jail, on bond, but one of the biggest scandals in the Catholic Church right now is what? Mm-hmm, exactly. And not right now, for some time. Priests having sex with little boys. Now, let's keep it 100. And that's all I'm
money
asking.
Money talk. Money talk.
Yeah, but you're right. And that's that bullshit. Because
Thank
let
you.
Me tell you something. If the priests don't even get arrested, they just get sent to bigger parishes, why he got to go to jail? Why R got to go to jail? or why anybody.
Because they keep because the Catholic Church keeps all that in house.
It's in the newspaper.
They keep all of that stuff in house. They don't involve the. They don't involve. They don't. It just seems like it's all kept in house.
Yeah,
I mean, it is
no
all
charges.
Kept in house,
they pay off these families, and
yep.
You said these priests are sent to other parishes, and it's all, no charges are really filed, and it's just all kept in house.
But what I'm saying is, how the hell are you gonna keep some shit in house, and you got a sodomy case, you got statutory rape? How the hell you get to keep that in house? That ain't no shit that
money.
You should be able to say.
Because we're the Vatican.
Like she just
that's
said, money.
We can do that.
It's money. It's money. And I agree with you. I totally agree with you, bruh. It shouldn't be that way because, you know, a pedophile is nothing but a pedophile. You know what I mean? So I agree
Thank
with you.
You
across the board.
Now, and that's all I'm saying. If you're going to, if I got to go to jail for 5 years because I had statutory sex with a 14-year-old, then damn it, you should have to go to jail too because you had statutory sodomy or some shit with usually with a little boy.
Not
yeah,
if I give you enough money, I don't.
The Vatican is like a little country.
And I understand
the Vatican
that.
Is like a little country. And with it being like a little country, all of that different stuff resides in their country. They have the right to deal with it.
But
that's what I said, in-house.
As baby,
that's what I meant by in-house.
As baby girl was saying, in-house, that's what it is. It is a crime any and everywhere else. Well, here in the United States, it's a crime. All right? But I think these people, they have to answer to the Vatican because of some, as my man would say, diplomatic immunity.
But look at here. So why black preachers got to go to jail?
Because that's here in this country.
I mean, so come on, man.
They ain't set up like the Catholic
Church.
And the lawmakers and people with the money, they're either Catholic or Jewish, and so they set the rules. And the Vatican and the Church is untouchable.
Now listen. I don't pretend for one second not to know that. All I'm saying, though, is as a damn society, it's okay for priests. Well, it's not okay, but priests can rape. Watch this. I mean, continually rape. Most priests that make the news, the ones that make the news, that ain't their first time.
Right.
You know, they done sent his ass to Chicago. But, you know, you still got people in Minnesota talking about, yeah, that's Father O'Brien. he wants the boy next door. I mean, you know what I'm saying? That shit is just
like,
it's a real easy fix to this. All you got to do is let them either marry, let these priests marry, or, you know, I mean, it's work around it. They can get things that can be done to prevent this
women,
stuff.
They're going around raping boys, little boys, altar boys.
But I'm saying some of them, I don't know if they're vetting them properly. I mean, because a lot of them, I don't know if they're gay, you know,
but most pedophiles, they hide behind a clown mask or being a preacher. Not saying all you know, people that do that, but that's what pedophiles do. They hide behind something where they can be around a bunch of little kids. Some of them, they can be the baddest thing in the world. And build a ranch called Never Never Land.
No, he made Thriller. He made Thriller. Stop with that bullshit. Not Michael. He made Thriller.
Yeah, he got a thrill, all right.
He made Thriller, man. Hey, listen, man. Mm-hmm. But all I'm saying to the nation is we have to stop and we got to look at this shit. And we can, again, don't get me wrong. I mean, if that's some shit that the Catholic Church want to hold on to, you can't get married. You got to take a vow of celibacy. I mean, come on, man. That's not working for y'all right now.
That's what I mean. Allow them to get married. That's what I'm saying. Let them get married because clearly that's not working.
That whole religion.
Something's wrong with that. It's not working. There's a problem.
The whole religion thing ain't working.
Well, and we know that. I mean, Russell, the real root, Russell, I'm sorry, the real root cause is this all some bullshit to me. That's to me. That's just Kenny Hodges. That's just co-producer's opinion. Yeah, it's all some bullshit to me. But I'm saying it's an established set of bullshit that in this country that nobody's going to want to change. And when you talk about letting priests get married, again, that's a real simple solution. And just because you married now, what the fuck would that mean? You can't serve God? You can still keep up with that same phony shit that you've been doing.
There are people married now that still go out there and mess with little kids.
Let me say this to you. I don't think that the priests are gay. I don't think that they're gay.
No.
I think that's who they have there. Because you don't have little girls hanging out at the altar boy shit. You know what I'm saying? The girls are over there with
the
nuns.
Do.
All priests don't do that. Some of them do. And the ones that do, those are pedophiles, I'm telling you.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Then that means you had, so some of them might become those priests for that very reason, to be able to get
exactly
at these boys.
Well, they're hiding behind that cross. Like the guy that want to be a Cub Scout leading. He leading already. He leading right into them little boy cheeks.
Well, then they got to do a better. They have to do a better job at trying to get to the root of what this problem is with these priests.
Let me say this to you, okay?
Who's going to get to the bottom of it? Who's going to get to the bottom of it?
Well, I mean, aren't these? Well, let me say this. I don't know what their process is per se, because again, I'm not Catholic, so I don't know what their vetting process is or how they go about it. They're selecting process, I guess I should say. But I know these people have to be interviewed. You have to do some kind of background checks or something on them. You just don't start doing stuff like that all of a sudden. There has to be some kind of...
You work up a trust through the community.
No, I'm talking about when they want to become priests.
There has to be some...
You don't start just doing that all of a sudden. So when they're... Whatever process they go through to have these people become priests, are they doing any research on them? Because you don't just start becoming a pedophile all of a sudden.
To me, the thing with that is, you can search all you want, to, unless they got a record. What about the ones that don't have a record? What about the ones that's flying under the radar?
What you guys are really missing is the fact that, what about the ones that's determining it? You understand what I'm saying? Those that are
there's the problem.
They're just as bad.
The high council, they don't had them a boy or two. So when that shit, I'm being for real, and it sounds crazy, but when that shit come their way, they real lenient on that because I did that too. Listen, that shit has been going on far too long for nobody not to care about it. Honestly. Again, I'm not saying it's accepted, but I'm saying they say we'll look the other way. It ain't cool, Father O'Malley. It ain't cool, but we're gonna look the other way. And we, how about we just not talk about this anymore?
That's why they always
ship
them out to where?
We're gonna go in that booth,
third world country.
We're gonna go sit in that booth and tell each other, and it'll be forgiven.
Well, as I bring this back down to what the real topic was about, this shit was, I don't think that priests can take little boys under the age of 16 and not have to go to jail, then damn it, R. Kelly shouldn't have to go to jail either. And let me really say this. Not only do I think R. Kelly should have his ass sent to jail, I'm really saying those priests should go to jail also. So I don't think that we should give R a break because we're going to give the priest a break. No. I think the priest should get what R is about to get. That's all I'm saying. Hey, baby boy,
Not all the time, but some of the time when you've been molested as a kid, you grow up to become a molester.
And I understand.
Not all the time,
I
but
get
some
that.
Of the time.
I know R. Kelly went through that, but listen, if you didn't seek help, and I know it's easy to say, but instead of seeking help, you destroyed other people. I'm sorry. You don't get a pass. You don't get no pass. No. I understand your illness.
And a lot of those priests, those priests, those boys that they have been molesting, their lives, a lot of them, have some of them have committed suicide. I mean, they'll never be the same. I mean, as far as the ones that are still here, they're devastated and their lives will never be the same. Because of the trauma and what they've gone through because of those priests.
How about the ones that R. Kelly has abused and stuff? Have they gone through the trauma and all that stuff? There's been reports of them going through all kinds of stuff.
And to me, most of them, they were already
strong. I'm asking, does anybody know?
Watch this.
According to that documentary, that surviving R. Kelly
documentary
that came out.
Yeah, now that we have the documentary, of course they're going through drama and trauma and shit now. But hey, listen, all I'm saying is.
That's not fair because we really don't know. So we can't really say because we really don't know. Because for a while, they have been trying to speak up. From my understanding, and they weren't being heard because they weren't being believed because of who he was. So in all fairness to them, to them, they were trying to tell their story, and nobody was believing them because of who he was.
Right.
Okay, no, I had no idea. I was really seeking the knowledge. I wasn't trying
to... Hey, baby bro, give me a black history fact, man. Tell me something about black folks that I need to know.
Well, something you probably don't hear about every day, but it was a kid named Troy Wilkins. He was the first black boy or black man to refer to a particular brand of Kool-Aid as red.
Because somebody fight for that shit for me.
Kool-Aid red.
Instead of strawberry?
Yeah, or...
Instead of strawberry?
A tropical punch, you said red. Jeez, catch up. Oh, by the way, that Black History moment was brought to you by Summer's Eve. You know, when our panty aroma had you in the car. Try Summer's Eve.
Oh, wow.
Knock it off.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
Hey, Sister Tippy, could you give us a more educational Black History fact, please?
Well, the best Kool-Aid flavor is purple, first of all.
See?
And I recently learned, and it's probably not a fact to anybody on this planet but me, that Martin Luther King's speech was mostly improvised. He didn't write the dream part. The dream theme part ahead of time. He did it extemporaneously, and I did not know that. I think that makes it even more impressive.
Yes, as black ministers will do, they can stay up all night writing the manuscript, but when they get up on the podium, as they like to say, when the spirit hit them. Yeah, it'd be a little thing going on. Yeah.
That's right.
Baby sis, you got a Black History fact for us?
Yeah, actually I do. I wanted to speak on the Black Panthers, if I could. I wanted to debunk that myth that they were just radical or violent or a destructive group of people because they did a lot of positive and productive things for the Black community. And so I just wanted to speak on them because a lot of times they don't get the shine that they deserve. One of the Black Panthers, Afeni Shakur, Tupac Shakur's mother. She was political and a social activist in the Black Panther Party. And she was known for teaching people how to lead and also educating them on constitutional rights and helping. And she was also... very influential in helping to create the first version of the Patient's Bill of Rights that's found in the hospitals across the country. Right. And as we know, that also benefits, you know, white Americans as well. So, as I said, I didn't know that, you know, she had anything to do with that. I don't know about anybody else, but I didn't know that either. So I definitely wanted to speak on that because, as I said, Black Panthers, they get a bum rap a lot of times. They're not viewed in the light that they should be, right, exactly, in a positive light. And they did a lot. They were very instrumental in, you know, in the black communities as far as teaching about literacy, mm-hmm. and, you know, encouraging voter rights and, you know, health related issues as well. They initiated free breakfast programs in the black community. They also oversaw the planning of free clinics and coordinated member health care and community outreach.
That's what they was originally when they originally established themselves.
Yes.
That was their mission, and that's what they did. And then J. Edgar Hoover and his boys started messing with them all the time, and then they had to take it. They had to fight fire with fire.
See, because J. Edgar
Hoover as a terrorist group.
Yeah, you know, but like I said, but they're identified as radical, but most people don't know that they did a lot of serve the people programs that provided, like I said, health, education, and food services to the black community. So I just wanted to acknowledge that because, you know, as I said, oftentimes that we don't speak on that about them and they don't get the shine that they deserve, especially during Black History Month. We speak on a lot of the other, you know, a lot of other leaders that, again, deserve that as well. But I just felt like I just wanted to touch base on them and give them their shine and say power to the people.
Yeah, power to the people. You know what? See, Black Panthers got a bad rap because when J. Edgar and his boys came at them, they were surprised. They missed the Martin Luther King speech. See, they wasn't there when Martin was talking that turn the other cheek shit. They missed all that. They heard the speech that says, listen, if you kill my dog, I'm going to kill your cat. Mm-hmm. So, in all honesty, they got tagged as radical, but they were survivalists. They just wasn't going to let you come and start whipping their ass without you taking some kind of ass whooping back.
Right.
I mean, you know, but they were black, and you couldn't hit white people at that time, so they got a real bad rap. But, again, because the nation had become – they were afraid of Malcolm – but they had become comfortable on the surface with Dr. King. And it wasn't that Dr. King was such a prolific speaker. They loved Dr. King because Dr. King's message deterred black people from counteracting, from fighting back.
Yes.
That was the beauty of Dr. King to this nation.
Right, we weren't threatened.
But like I said, they did a lot for the black community in terms of, you know, service, in serving the people. Like I said, in terms of the health care programs that they did, you know, the free breakfasts they, you know, for their communities, outreach programs, and, you know, the free clinics. They did a lot with legal aid and for the people in the community. And a lot of that stuff doesn't get, you know, we don't speak on that. Like I said, they're always just looked upon as being radical, but they did a lot of service programs for their people. So I just wanted to speak on that and give them their
And I appreciate that. Yeah, Ungawa, Black Power to the Panthers, man.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, you know. Hey, but listen, you know what? I have a question that I'm going to pose to every member on the cast tonight. Seeing how this is Black History Month, a magical time in the year. Excuse me. You could make one wish, and you got to make it right now. What would you wish for? Now, let me put just two parameters on what you can't wish for, and then I'm going to ask each of you. This being Black History Month, dreams do come true. Oh, that was a Disney song. I'm sorry. But this being Black History Month, you can wish for anything. You got one wish. You can't wish for money, and you can't wish for authority. Brother Messenger, talk to me. You got one wish.
Love. Love.
We mean love.
Love ye one another.
Okay. Baby sis.
I would say equality, you know.
Sister Tippy.
I wish white people would get over thinking black people are suboptimal or subpar or subservient or sub anything.
Baby boy.
I wish that Malcolm and Martin was still around today just to see how things would have worked out. And also, Tropical Punch is the best kind of Kool-Aid, not grape. Excuse me.
You're wrong. And I didn't say grape.
I said purple. Excuse me. I corrected myself. Thank you very much.
No, you're
there's Carmen.
Apologies.
There's Carmen.
I'm going to second. What Baby Sis said. I was thinking the same thing. Equality. That's
equality,
all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who am I missing?
That's it.
You're
no.
You.
You, my brother.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I wish for?
What's your wish?
Huh?
What's yours?
And again, we were talking about this, and it's funny. That's actually what prompted the question tonight. We were talking about this at work today, and I'm going to change what I said at work today too. I wish we, as a nation, and I don't give a damn if you think I sound corny, would learn to love each other. I'm talking about the kind of love for your fellow man that makes Bill Gates come out of his house and make sure nobody is sleeping on the streets. I'm talking about the kind of love that Warren Buffett realizes, what the fuck do I need $100 billion for? Let me give some of this shit away. And again, living in an area, and I know I'm dreaming, where if you don't lock your door at night, so what? Living back in an area where you can go outside and play and not have to worry about gunshots. But I do. I just wish that we as a nation of people would just love each other like we love ourselves. Well, no, I'll change that because some of us don't love ourselves. We just love each other unconditionally.
Love
that would be
another.
If Brother Malcolm and Martin was still around, maybe we would be there. Maybe.
Well, I mean,
And my thing is, and I hear you, bro, and that's beautiful. You know, that's that agape love, and that's beautiful. But even if you didn't want to love me like you love yourself, just be fair and give me the same opportunity to be able to create that same money or generate that same money for myself like you were able to do. If you could give me that same playing field, I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
But just let me be, give me that same fair playing field, equality, to be able to get mine like you got yours.
Can I give you equality if I don't love you?
No.
You can give me equality. You can be fair to me. You don't have to love me. You can be fair. People don't have to love you to be fair to you.
If I love you, when you start to do good, I still love you. If I think it, I'm just giving you equality, but I set your ass free and you start doing better than me because I don't love you, I'll probably come out with some slave codes. I'm sorry. I'll probably come out with some laws. I hear what you're saying. And again, there is no right or wrong answer. But the consensus from the panel, it's just about love and equality, man. And you know, I don't think nobody's asking for any more than that. But it's really sad. We could talk about racism, segregation, all that shit all day long. But I'm going to tell you something. It's sad as shit when you just really, really, really don't like anybody just because of the color of their skin. That's some weak-ass shit, man. And that shit is so ingrained in those who want to practice that. I think it's just filthy. I can't think of a better word for it. You don't like me because my skin is dark. Now, if you don't like me because I'm an asshole, then that makes sense. It makes a lot of sense. But for you to look at me, huh?
See, but the thing with that is, isn't that that's not how you feel. That's kind of like how you've been taught. So you can teach hate just like you can teach arithmetic, anything else. Hate is taught. If you were to teach kids to grow up and love one another, it wouldn't be no problem. But when you teach hate, that's what you get.
And, you know, you teach hate sometimes subconsciously or unconsciously.
Amen.
You know, and again,
or, intentionally.
Well, and again,
as a matter of fact,
I'm going
to ask you and Tippy about this. There's a rally, a KKK rally that's going on in your town.
Yeah.
Huh?
I wasn't invited.
You
I wasn't
I'm
invited.
About
that.
What happened?
What?
No, I said, what are y'all going to do about that?
Me?
I know one thing I'm going to do. I'm going to boycott. I'm going to boycott that. I'm pretty certain I'm not going to be there, man. I got to wash my hair some shit that night. But
so you ain't going to be
there. You got to change
the fights, right? Hell yeah.
Was he asking me?
What happened?
Yeah, he's asking you. He's asking you and co-producer because you're both out in Ohio.
Well, first, I respect the right of anybody to have free speech. I don't have to agree with you, but I respect your right to have it. I may think you're an asshole, but you can stand there and say what you need to say. And second, you won't find me within miles of any Klan rally.
I was going to go, but they said they stopped using silk, and they was just going to use cotton sheets, and I can't get that close to cotton like that no more.
And you probably needed a rain check.
That's a, but you know what though, I'm just you know hey, nah, I'm not I won't be anywhere around there. And, it's bad. No, I won't even say that. But I hope it's I can't even say I hope it's okay. I hope nobody gets hurt during the rally.
And I just can't even believe that. I can't even believe that they're doing Klan rallies and stuff like that again, that we're even hearing stuff like this again. I thought we were past that, like openly outright Klan rallies.
Because case was never closed. It's always going to stay open.
Well, I mean, it wasn't something that you were hearing about, like just commonly hearing about in the lately.
Because who's the
president? Like the way you're hearing about it now.
There you go.
Like, oh, by the way, there's going to be a Klan rally.
Yeah,
like, you wasn't hearing about
president.
That, like, 10
it's
years ago. You wasn't hearing about stuff like that.
Yeah, it was a
well,
lot. It was,
like
it was being done on the low. It was being done behind closed doors, yeah, but you weren't just
because
hearing about it like this,
yeah,
like the way you are now.
Their old leader, David Duke, he kind of convinced them to put the sheets up and get the suits out. You know, you wear corporate clothes. But now I think that the fact that when they put their and again, trust me, I'm just using a swag method to figure this out, which is no more than a scientific wild ass guess. I guess when they put their sheets on, they feel more invincible. They feel empowered because you can't look at them directly or whatever the hell. But that's just some more crazy shit.
That's because they're cowards. I think that sheet thing is cowards anyway.
Well, again, that's
but
why.
To me, it just speaks. It just speaks
up,
to the
man.
Administration that we have right now. That they, to me, they feel that they can do stuff like that now because of the administration that's in power.
No.
But we gotta watch free speech. That is a protected right, and we. I think people can prove themselves assholes at any time they'd like.
Well, you know, free. I don't think that again. Whether you the Klan, or whether you the Panther, or whether you anybody, I don't think that you should be able to assemble and talk about hate against any
hate.
Goddamn body.
Why about hate?
Huh?
So, but that's our Bill of Rights, that you're allowed to stand and talk like a fool all day long. That's your right.
Yeah, well,
you don't have to agree.
And
that's
anyway,
your right.
Anyway, like I said, I'm going to boycott that shit, but the fact that they are embracing it or bold enough to come out to publicly announce, you know, we're back, we're here, we're still anti, whatever the fuck it is that they anti, you know, again, just a sad day for the nation, man. It just goes to show that instead of trying to solidify us as a nation, We still got these damn hate groups out there, and they're flourishing.
Hey, let me say this real quick. Just Assistant T. Assistant T, what you're saying is correct, that it is a right, but unfortunately, as black people, it is not a right of ours. Because if we stand up and do it, we're going to get arrested.
No, we're going to get killed.
Yeah, we're going to get that ass beat.
Yeah, so you're right. It's a right, and it should be a right for everyone, but it's not a right for everyone.
And
so
I live for the day that that's not a true statement. I promise that. So,
I would like to live for that day, too.
So do we all break down right now and start singing Kumbaya, my lord?
No.
Watch this. What we all break down and do right now is watch this segue. Michael Cohen calls Trump a racist and a con man in scathing testimony. And I intentionally didn't touch him till we get down to under 5 minutes because I didn't want him to monopolize the Black History Podcast, but I got to give him a few minutes. He is the president. That ass is gonna get got right now. Cause listen to me real carefully. That ass is going, because you gotta remember something. I know we jumped off Black History Month, but yeah, this is Black History Month because we might see some justice here. When you got a guy like Cohen, personal friend, attorney, with Trump all that time, the shit that that man can tell you about Donald J. Would probably make your ears fall off, man. And right now, he ain't holding back shit. Again, they didn't protect his ass when he got popped. Like he said, shit, I'm fucking with the president, and I'm still having to answer for this? And then y'all just left me out here? Okay. Because he came into the courtroom, he said, look.
Let me tell you this.
Yeah, now, not only let me tell you this, let me show you this.
Yeah,
now,
let me show. I got the proof.
Yeah. Did he really? I didn't see it.
Oh, yeah, he has the proof.
Yeah, you got to watch it. And, in fact, we might have a special Attic podcast between now and Wednesday when we talk about that shit. Because, yeah, he telling shit, man. They must have gave him
like
a pair of shoes. They must have gave him a pair of shoes two sizes too small because he telling shit they ain't even asking him.
Right.
But you know what, though?
Yeah.
But just to show, again, we're going to get, this is going to be a topic of a podcast. Them Republicans, man. Them goddamn Republicans, man. Instead of them asking questions, trying to find out, again, whether or not Donald J. was involved in some illegal shit, they didn't ask no, all they wanted to do was tear down Cohen's character. Hey, listen.
That's right, exactly.
Again, Cohen wasn't on trial. What you should have been asking is questions to prove that he ain't telling the truth about what he's saying right now.
Right.
Well, they know they know they couldn't do that. They know they couldn't do that.
I could say this, but and watch this. You got New York City. New York City is in his kid's ass. I mean, the shit is about to go down for him, man. And again, if you ever watch, you know, we talk about the documentary on Sam Cooke. You watch the documentary on Donald Trump on how he came up. Come on, man. Again, I mean, for real. It's in his life, how he lived. That's just how he was, man. And if anybody thinks that you're going to do that, that's just like saying, you know, not that there is such a thing as an actual mafia, but the biggest don of the mafia, if there was such a thing, yeah, I'm from Jersey. I pay my respect. But if there was such a thing, if they became president, do you think that they going to do shit the right way? They going to want to. But if I've been doing underhanded, crooked deals or slick-ass deals.
All my life.
Like my better, you ain't going to stop.
That's right.
Okay, but listen, folks. We're about to bring
the bro, is it right if I end something on a positive note about history?
Go ahead, sister.
All right, but just really quick, I just wanted to say Queen Latifah is she's going to be investing in affordable housing in her hometown of Newark, New Jersey. It's a $14 million project, and it's reported that it will include 23 family townhomes and an additional building with 16 units of affordable housing. It's going to have a fitness center and a commercial space for nonprofit organizations, and it's scheduled to break ground this summer. And the first phase of it is scheduled to be completed by December of next year. So, I mean, I just think that that's beautiful, and I just wanted to commend the queen for doing that. And that's black girl magic right there.
Yeah, it's funny.
All hell the queen.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned the queen.
She didn't forget where she came from.
It's funny you mentioned the queen because I remember back in the day, that was like your favorite rapper.
She was one of them. Yeah, her. MC Light. A couple of them. She was one of them.
Queen Lyle.
So I'm proud of her. She's giving back to the community.
Again, beautiful way to end the podcast on a real positive note. Again, black people, come on. In fact, you know what? All people, come on. Let's be better. I mean, let's make more of an attempt at helping your fellow man. I'm not saying give all you have, but you gave a little bit. And when I say give, a little time, a little understanding, a little conversation, maybe a meal. But again, let's all try to be better. Hey, this is co-producer from the Black History Month closeout of The Attic. And every show this month, I put my sister's picture up there. So she rotated with us. So she hung out with us for the whole month of February. Hey, love you, Mary. Hey, good night, everybody.
Definitely.
Good night.
Yeah, good night.
Good night.
Good night.